Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13. 2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13.
2 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to you tonight asking for your blessings. Lord, we just pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would just give me clarity of mind to preach your word, that each and every one of us might be encouraged and strengthened in the faith that you've given to us. And Lord, that we would grow in your grace and truly be the witnesses, Lord, of what salvation is really all about, the life-changing difference that you make in our lives. And so, Lord, may you be highly exalted and lifted up tonight. May we be drawn closer to you this evening. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply "An Unexpected Place of Refreshment." An unexpected place of refreshment. We notice right there that it was right in the midst of being ridiculed and put down that they would find a place of refreshment there. So we're going to look at that here in just a moment. And by the way, when we consider this place of refreshment, this is the place that we can only find, this place of refreshment we can only find by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thought we're going to look at this evening is an unexpected visitor. And then number two, we're going to look at an unexpected request. And we're going to see here, this is kind of a picture of the flesh. We'll see that in just a moment. And then an unexpected answer. And we're going to find this is going to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. So there's two battles going on, right? There's one battle, but two different sides, right? You have the flesh, and then you have the spirit. We want to be on the side of the spirit, but we have to on purpose pursue that, right? Otherwise, the flesh is going to lead out. If you just let things go, naturally speaking, if you just let them go, the flesh is going to override. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? It doesn't happen by itself. We have to on purpose say, you know, today, Lord, I want you to crucify the flesh. Today, I want to walk in the Spirit. Today, I want you to be honored and glorified. So when we consider this, I want you to take note before we get kind of into the message here. I want you to back up to chapter 15 just for a moment. Look at verse 17. And I want you to see the men that are with David so you'll get a better understanding of what's going on. Look at 2 Samuel 15, chapter 15, verse 17, "And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was afar off." And here's what I want you to see, verse 18. "And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites," listen, 600 men which came after him from Gath passed on before the king. So there are 600 men, and these are mighty men that are with David that they decided to follow. Now, if you know the story, Absalom overthrows the kingdom. He gets a big following, and his father is leaving the kingdom with this group of men. And there's a corrupt kind of a coup that's underneath Absalom, and he wins the heart of the people. And David is basically, he's leaving because he doesn't want to fight his son. And so he's leaving, and this is the event that takes place as he's leaving. And so notice, back up with me here to verse 5 of chapter 16, and let's look at this unexpected visitor as they're leaving. This is what takes place. So 2 Samuel 16, verse 5 says this, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul." So take notice of whose lineage he is. He's of old King Saul, "whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came." So you've got one guy coming and he's cursing King David. And King David has 600 men around him. So that's a good army, wouldn't you say? Especially when there's just one. And by the way, David is also a pretty good warrior himself, is he not? So notice, so he comes and he's cursing him. In verse 6 it says this, "And he cast stones at David." So he's throwing stones at David. His mighty men don't like this, but anyway, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of the king, King David, and all the people and all the mighty men now, were on his right hand and on his left. So he's got a good company, doesn't he? And so here he is in this predicament, in this situation, right? And by the way, is God sovereign? Yes. Amen? That means he rules over everything. Yes. And this is the spoken word of God, is it not? This is the spoken word. But I want you to know, the Lord is still speaking through his word. Even today, even tonight, God is still speaking, right? That's important because it's not like we're listening to something that was spoken a long time ago and spoken no more. Because when you think of the Trinity, when you think of the triune God, you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God the Son is also called the Word. So he's in existence, right? And so he's still communicating, and he's still wanting to speak to his people through the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at this portion of Scripture tonight, may we have in our hearts and minds that, yes, God has spoken this many years ago, but he is wanting to speak to us tonight as well, is he not? He's wanting to communicate an important truth so that we might understand him in a better way and that we might understand how to walk in this world, how we're to look at this world. See, because if we're left to looking at the world according to how we feel, according to how we think, we're going to miss the Lord completely. Because the Lord's will and his way and his thoughts are not ours. But the good news is God has given to us his thoughts, his word, so that we might understand his direction. And then we make a choice. Okay, which way am I going to walk this day and the rest of this night here? How am I going to walk? And tomorrow and every day after, how am I going to walk? Am I going to walk according to my thinking or according to the spoken word that still speaks to us even today? So that's important. So here we find David. He's surrounded by all these men on the right and on the left. Look at verse 7 as we consider this. And this is still the unexpected visitor. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. And thou man of Belial. He's calling him a bloody man, and he's calling him a man of the devil. Now, just because somebody makes a proclamation, does it make it true? No, it doesn't make it true, but he's making this proclamation about David. And now, here's the thing. How shall David respond to this? He's got all the might, does he not? He's got all the power. And we'll see here about this unexpected request here in just a moment. But look at verse 8 with me, if you will. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. He's saying because Saul was killed. Well, let me ask you a question. Didn't Saul do that himself? He did, didn't he? And he just kept going his own way and didn't turn back. He didn't repent. He didn't follow the way of the Lord. And so he brought demise upon his own head, didn't he? And so, but this man, Shimei, because he's of that lineage or the house of Saul, he's blaming David. Isn't that amazing that we can bring problems into ourselves, or we can look at problems and say, well, this person is the one that's is the culprit. This person is the one that's responsible. And that's what Shimei is doing. He's saying, David is the one that has done this to Saul, and now God is going to get you. Right? And that's what he's saying. God is going to get you. But we must remember, David is a man after God's own what? Heart. He's a man after God's own heart. We're going to see that here in just a moment. So, again, verse 8, he says, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of thy house, of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And by the way, the Lord is one that anointed him, right, to be the next king. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in mischief because thou art a bloody man. So he's saying, you've got all this coming to you. And by the way, we really shouldn't wish ill on anybody. Not even the lost, not even the ungodly. What we ought to wish is that God opens up their eyes to see their need to know the Lord as their own personal Savior. Because how many of us deserve eternal life? How many of us in the eyes of the Lord are white as snow? Not a single soul. And how many sins, just because somebody is caught up in a horrible sin, that doesn't mean that we throw them away. God has not thrown them away. On this side of eternity, there's eternal hope, isn't there? But how are they going to get that eternal hope if the people of God don't share that, right? That's important that we share the love of God and the mercy of God. So notice what happens here. So here we have this unexpected visitor. David didn't go out there with his men thinking, you know what, guys, hang on, Shimei's coming around the corner. He didn't say that. They were just going through life, and Shimei shows up. Why do I say that tonight? Because you and I are going to go through life, and Shimei is going to show up sometime. Amen? Shimei is going to show up and may point a finger at us and make an accusation. How are you and I to respond to it? Well, the way we respond to it will be according to whether or not we're being led by the Spirit or by the flesh. It's the only way it's going to work. It's the only two responses that we have. So let's look at this unexpected request here in verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog? Well, that ought to tell you something where he's coming from. And he called him a dead dog. Well, he's going to tell us why he's calling him a dead dog. And he says right here, he says, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? He's hot because he's offended that his king was being treated this way. Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. He's going to take off his head. Now, you ever heard somebody say, well, I just took off their head. Right? You ever heard somebody say, in other words, they gave them what for? I just took off their head. Or somebody says, I just bit off their head. Well, you know, the world would say Shimei has it coming. But remember, we're not children of the world. We're children of the kingdom of God. And the Lord's way and the world's way can't be any further apart from one another. So we have to evaluate now and say, whose side am I on? We can say whose side we're on, but whose side do we reveal? Whose side do we show that we're really on? See? Doesn't that make sense? We can say we're on the Lord's side, but how do we respond? So at this particular point, let me ask you this. Abishai, where is his heart and mind? Is it in tune with the Lord? No, we'll see. We'll see David's response, because he is a man after God's own heart. And that takes, listen, David would have never been able to do this unless he was led by the Spirit of the Lord. He would be just as vulnerable as any other human being. You and I can be just as vulnerable as a lost person if we're not contending and fighting for the faith. It's a battle. Lord, today I want to walk upright. Today I want to be holy because you're holy and you've promised, Lord, your word, that you promise that if I follow you, you'll show me the way, your way. You'll show me how to walk in your power. You'll show me how to honor and glorify you. And so that's what we got to decide. Whose side are we really on? Because, again, if you showed this to a lost person, and let's just say a lost person with good integrity, and you stopped right there, and they didn't see any more of the story, they'd say, boy, you know, that Abishai, he really loves David. He's a loyal servant to David. If you'd have stopped there, they wouldn't have seen any more. They'd have said, Abishai is a good man. But see, and by the way, Abishai is a good man. We're not trying to take that away from Abishai. He is following King David. He's on the right side, but he's out of step, right? He's on the right side, but he's not in sync with David. He's not in step with the plan of God. So let's look at this unexpected answer, and this is really the last thought here. Look at verse 10 with me. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Listen to this. So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. What does David see that Abishai didn't see? David saw the Lord involved. Wait a minute. David, see, we like to see the Lord involved when everything's going our way. Oh, see, the Lord's involved. The Lord's involved. No, all of a sudden something doesn't go our way. Oh, the Lord can't be in this. Lord can't be in this at all. That, no way the Lord is in this, right? But wait a minute. Is David a man after God's own heart? And he's saying the Lord has said this? Absolutely. So, question, when things happen in our life that are unpalatable and unenjoyable, unpleasurable, unexpected, Is the Lord still in control?
Yes.
And if we bicker and moan and complain, do we show that we believe that the Lord is in control? No. If we're complaining, and if we're bickering and moaning, then we're saying, Lord, you've messed up. Does the Lord ever mess up? He never messes up. Isn't that good? We can take comfort in that, right? The Lord doesn't mess up. So he says here, verse 10 again, and the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, so he's addressing all of them, behold, my son, which came forth from my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. The Lord hath bidden him to do this. And the Lord essentially allowed him, Shimei, to run his course. And if you know the story, when Solomon became king, he made an agreement with Shimei not to leave his borders. And he went out after a servant, if I remember correctly. And he says, and Solomon promised him, the day you leave your borders is the day you're going to die. Right? That was the ultimatum there that was given to him. But anyway, it didn't happen for many, many years. So then notice here, verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Is that good? Where did that come from? That's the Lord. And notice what David didn't say. He didn't say, the Lord will. Did you notice that in verse 12? He said, it may be. He didn't say, well, the Lord will look on mine affliction, and this is what he's going to do because I've suffered. No, he said, it may be and it may not be. But regardless, what did David do? He gave him the liberty and the freedom. See, it's important that we understand that we're in step with the Lord, or we'll miss these grace opportunities. What's a grace opportunity? You ever think about that? What's a grace opportunity? It's an opportunity to reveal the grace of God. What is the grace of God? God not giving something that we do deserve. Right? Mercy, we get something we don't deserve. Grace means we're not getting something we do deserve. That's grace. And so when somebody mistreats us as believers, as children of the light, the world would retaliate right away. But what's the child of God to do? To not retaliate. See, that's where the light shines, the light of God. But if we're not walking in the light as he is in the light, we're going to miss these opportunities. We'll never be able to do it unless we're focused and zeroed in on this idea of God living through our lives. You know, it's one thing, and by the way, this means, does this just mean the current things, or does this mean all things? All things, right? So it's not becoming of a child of God, and correct me if I'm wrong. Should we go around living life complaining about what people have done to us in the past? And complain about being mistreated here and being mistreated, you know, and treated this way and treated that way? Because that's not grace, is it? Grace is simply saying, you know, I'm going to forgive. I'm going to give them something they don't deserve. Why would we do that? Aren't we the recipients of things we don't deserve from God? Are we not the same recipients of those things? And so the last thought here is really the title. I told you there was an unexpected visitor. That was Shimei, an unexpected request from Abishai. He called him a dead dog, says, I'm going to take care of him for you. I'll just take off his head for you. And then an unexpected answer by the Holy Spirit, when he saw the Lord, David saw the Lord's sovereignty, and he said, let him do it. Now, that's really pretty amazing, isn't it? That's God. We would naturally never do that. Even if we didn't take off the guy's head, we wouldn't like him. We wouldn't just let him, especially if we had the power like David did, to take off his head. And he had the authority, could have done it. But he didn't do it. And now the last place here is the unexpected place of refreshment. Look at verse 13. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside. He's still doing this. He's along the hillside. He's following them over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Now watch this. Verse 14. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. There. You know why they were able to refresh themselves there? Because David was in the Spirit. And David was able to lead these men to a place of refreshment. So here's the question tonight. Do we have the faith to find refreshment, the refreshment of God's grace, and to lead others to it as well? See, the place of refreshment is wherever the Spirit of the Lord is. It was even in a place where he was being cursed and rocks thrown at him. Isn't that amazing? Paul found it in prison, didn't he? Paul found refreshment, and he was able to encourage. Do you think the Apostle Paul, do you think he just made himself do that, or do you think he really had refreshment? Do you think he really had peace and the love of God? So God asks us, do we want that? Do we want that in a difficult place in life? Because the difficult places are coming either way. They're coming, aren't they, in our lives? But if we allow the Lord, he can give us refreshment in an unexpected place, because the Lord will always be with us. Amen? Would you stand tonight? I pray that you've been encouraged to seek the Lord in this refreshment, in this world that is filled with many, many trials, is it not, and challenges. And we never know which one, when the next one's going to come, but we do have a God who is sovereign, and we thank the Lord for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this reminder, for your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless as we break off for prayer. And Lord, may we be careful to seek you every day and to walk with you and draw nearer to you by your mercy and grace. And so again, Lord, bless as we break off for prayer. We'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.